I had to chuckle a little bit a few days ago when Steve was introducing the different sessions we were going to have today, because he was saying that, for instance, I will take you to the Valley of Baca. I'm not literally going to take you to the Valley of Baca. There's a little bit too much water around here, but I will hope to take at least your imagination to the Valley of Baca. As Steve mentioned, this is my first time doing something like this in Elfheim. It's the first time for me doing this in English, so bear with me when I can't find words or help me out. I think I will be fine, but just be aware of that. So the Valley of Baca, what can you think about when you think of the Valley of Baca? Well, there's a lot of discussion in the Bible or theology that what the Valley of Baca means, but for this session, you can use my take on it, my interpretation. I would say it's a dry place, it's a desolate place. It might be a place where you feel alone, unhappy. You might not understand why you are in the valley, where you're going to. It's a time of struggling and a time when you might not know where you're going to, what you're looking for. And we all have these valleys in our life. And we are on a journey of life, and we will go through these valleys in the in our life. So the Valley of Baca, it's not quite sure if it actually was a valley in Israel or it's just a made-up valley, but it's not so important where it is. It's more about what it was like. So when I'm talking about a dry place, maybe a place of where you feel uninspired, maybe take a few seconds to think about what that place in your life, if you might have experienced a valley like that, and try to imagine what that was like. You might be in one of those valleys. You might think of a valley or a situation in the past. I want to do a few things today. I want to go through a little bit of Psalm 84 that you've been reflecting on this morning in your quiet time. I also want to, of course, want to talk to you about what we can learn from this psalm. I want to talk about what God's perspective would be on being in the Valley of Baca. And I might give you some hints how you could cope with a valley like this. And I want to share a little bit of my own story, my own experience with being in a valley like this. So let's start with the psalm. You can open your Bibles at the Psalm 84. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but because I hope you've read it this morning, but I will focus on some of the verses. Beginning with verse 1 and 2, where you can see the psalmist, the person who wrote this psalm, being very much, it's very much longing for being at God's dwelling place. And you can think of the psalmist going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for one of the feasts of the Jewish feasts, and he's going to the temple, the place where God is dwelling, and he is clearly very excited about it. So he says, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." So he is looking forward to being in Jerusalem. And then let's continue to verse 5 to 7, which is more of the key verses for this talk. Somebody wants to read verse 5 to 7? Any volunteers?
Sure.
Yeah.
"Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion."
Thank you. So it's in verse 6 that we see the Valley of Baca mentioned. And it's interesting to see how it's not necessarily regarded as a negative place to be, because the psalmist is talking about how it could be a place of springs, a place of blessing, and but that's not how it naturally feels normally when you're in a valley like this.
close just a little bit.
And if you read verse 5, you can kind of find why a Valley of Baca could be a place of springs. And there's a hint in that, that it's only for those whose strength is in you. So that already tells you that the psalmist knows you have to focus on God to experience those springs in the dry valley that you are in. That's quite of vital importance, because otherwise it just feels like a dry valley and you don't know where to go. And if you look at verse 6 and 7, they give you the promise that even if we go through difficult times, that we will have the blessings of God. We might not always feel that way, but we will be refreshed as long as we set our eye on God and have Him as our destination, just like the psalmist was going on his way to Jerusalem. Now, I know that sounds beautiful, but that's not always easy, but we'll get to that later on. Detail, but not an unimportant detail, is that you can see in verse 6 that it's about passing through the Valley of Baca, so it's not regarded as a valley that you will always remain in. It's a place that you go through, so there will be an end. It might take a long while, you don't know necessarily how long the valley is, but it's not everlasting. So if you continue in the psalm, and you will see that the psalmist is very joyful. For example, verse 10. He's very happy to be in God's courts. And you might wonder, why is this person, this psalmist, so happy about being in the Valley of Baca when it's such a rough place to be in? Why is he so joyful? What makes him such an optimist? And I think if you read the psalm, you notice that he loves to be in God's presence. I think that's the key for him. He knows what it's like to be in God's presence. He knows how joyful it is, how loving God is. And he's kind of, that anticipation of being back in God's dwelling place in the temple is helping him to go through the valley. So we can tell by reading this psalm that he's probably been in the temple before. He's talking about a sparrow finding a nest in the temple. So he's actually literally seen that a sparrow has found a nest in Jerusalem in the temple. And if you go to the last verse of the psalm, it tells, "Blessed is the man who trusts in you." And I think that sums up a lot of the sessions we've had so far already, where it's all about trusting in God. That's the key. But then how do you trust in God is sometimes a difficult thing to actually put into practice. And actually, when I was preparing this session the last few days, I had an idea in mind, and I've heard a lot of the other sessions talking about the same topics as I was preparing for, and I almost got a little bit like concerned, like what am I going to add to this talk. But then actually I thought of it a different way. It's interesting how in the different psalms, the different scriptures that we've read this week, that actually it all comes back to the same message, which is to trust in the Lord. And it's quite astonishing that through all these different stories, God is telling us the same thing. So clearly the psalmist loves being in the presence of God, and that's one of the things that, if we are in the valley, should be one of the things that we are seeking for as well. It has changed his whole perspective of being in the valley. You can imagine if he didn't have the destination of going to Jerusalem, but just passing through the valley. Being in the valley, he might not know where to go. He might feel exhausted, not finding any water. But it really helps when you know what your destination is. And I think that's the same for us as well. It's good to know where we're going with God. What is our destination? And maybe you can reflect on that while I'm speaking to you or in your discussion groups. To think about what's your destination when it comes to your relationship with God. What is it that you want to learn? What is it that you want to overcome? What is it that you want to grow in? And what have you already seen of God that helps you to set your eyes on him? So I think it's good to think about that as an individual, but here's some thoughts from my side. If you think about, for instance, hiking here in Norway, you can imagine how different it would be hiking without knowing the destination. You might get discouraged because you don't know where to go. You might turn back at some point. I think that it helps a lot being in a valley and knowing actually what the destination is going to be like. For instance, a glacier lake is something that we're looking forward to, and we might pursue going there because we're like, okay, it might be hard from time to time to climb up the mountain, but at least we know where we're going and it's worth it. And I think looking at the psalmist, ultimately his destination is just being in God's presence, because he knows that that's the best place to be in. And I hope that you've already experienced some of being in God's presence, but I think that's a lifelong task to experience more of God's presence, to seek him and to be transformed by him. For me personally, one of the drivers to keep pursuing God is that I know that he knows what the perfect version of me would be like, and as long as I follow him, I hopefully become more and more like the perfect Stefan. So maybe you can think about that later on. Well, what's your destination with God? Where do you want to go? But before I continue, I do want to talk a little bit about the springs in the valley, which are mentioned in, let's see, that's verse 6, place of springs. And I thought long and hard about the springs in the valley of Baca. And it's like, how does it feel to like find a spring in the valley of Baca? And actually, to be quite honest, I had a hard time to come up with an answer, because when I'm in the valley, I don't really, normally for me personally, I don't really see or feel God very often or very close. But when I look back at my valleys, I normally do. So sometimes you just have to wait to see, okay, this is where God was speaking to me or was trying to help me in my circumstances. And as you probably have experienced as well, it's not normally that when you're in a valley or in a rough time that God is changing your whole life with lightning and thunder and everything will be great, but it's more about helping you through the circumstances. So what I do think is very helpful to remember, to remind yourself of when you're in a valley like this, is to know how a valley can help you to get closer to God, to being in his presence. So I have 3 points that I want to share with you. I think one of the keys is that when you're in difficult times, you're seeking for answers and you realize, I can't do this on my own. We need people around us. We also need God. And you can search for answers in relationship with your friends, or maybe seek for the answers that society gives you. But if we choose wisely, we will bring our anger, our questions, our fear, whatever it is that you're going through, at God, with God. And I think actually, because we are more sensitive in our valleys, because we are less, we're not like super happy about everything that happens, but we're struggling, that also makes us more sensitive for God. So when he does speak, you might be more open for it because you're not distracted by all the other things that are happening. So that's one of the things that I think God can do in your valley. And that ultimately will make you come out of the valley stronger, because you have experienced God in the valley, and that will help your relationship with him, because you have experienced what it means to be following God, not just on the mountain tops, but in the valleys as well. And that leads into my second point, which is, since you're seeking him, I think you're getting to know him as well. Even though you don't always understand him, you do see, mostly at the end of the valley maybe, what he was doing. And if I listening to the different testimonies of this week, I can see that as well. where I think that the example of yesterday of being the sheep and following the shepherd is a very useful metaphor for that. I think when the sheep are on top of a hill, just being relaxed and grazing, that's not the place where they normally get to know their shepherd a lot more, because they're just in a good place. I think they get to know their shepherd best when they're actually traveling from one place to the other, because that's when the shepherd is guiding them and maybe getting them back to the right place when they are going the wrong direction. And then the third point, I think it builds character, because in the valley we are forced to wait, to be patient, even if we don't like it or don't want to. We are forced to trust in the Lord, and we learn to be more perseverance.
Persevering,
that's the right word. Yeah, thanks. So that will help us in the future as well, because our character gets shaped and we learn from that. So that's a few things that I think will help you to grow closer to God. But I also want to share something different on this topic. I think God's perspective on our valleys is sometimes quite different from our own understanding. And to understand more of that, I would like you to go to Isaiah 43, verse 16 to 19. So 43, verse 16 to 19. Somebody wants to read that? Yeah.
This is what the Lord said. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Thanks, Amy. I won't go too much depth with this scripture, but to give a little bit of context, this is Isaiah talking to the people of Israel who are exiled to Babylon, and can imagine being away from your own country is quite discouraging, not knowing where you will end up, and having to do hard labor for some other people who are keeping you imprisoned, basically. But what the Lord says is not focus on the situation where you're in right now, but I might be doing something new in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your valley. And that's also, I think, something that we normally don't experience when we're in the valley, but when you come out of it, you might have seen what God is doing through the valley. He is doing something new, and that can get us excited as well. Even though we might not feel it, we can know that as long as we seek God, that He will do something new in us, and it will help us to grow closer to Him. And that also asks, or that also means that sometimes we should not look too much to the past or think about what we think should be happening, but just trust God that He is leading you in the ways that are best for you. All right, so I want to share briefly a little bit about my own story about the Valley of Baca, and actually why I was why I thought this would be the right session for me to do. So I'll tell a little bit about my time after graduation. I graduated about 2.5 years ago, and you know, when you're studying, like you always have this goal of, okay, at some point I will finish and I will be graduated. And actually, since you're like a kid, you have kind of a path in front of you where you kind of know where what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden you're graduated. And then what happens? You are supposed to be an adult, take care of yourself. And I found that quite a difficult time for various reasons, but having to kind of design my own life, not knowing where to go, what to do, was very difficult. And what was very difficult for me on top of that was that I was trying to, like, I was feeling quite down. I wouldn't say depressed, but I was feeling quite down. And I didn't quite know what was going on. So normally when you like feel down and you can talk to other people, that will make you feel more relieved. But even when I was talking to other people, it was like, I'm not quite sure what was going on. Then people would give me advice. And I'm like, I know you mean the best for me, but I don't know. Like, I don't have the energy to do all these interviews or whatever. Well, God did provide me with a job that I'm very much enjoying. So that was a first hint that he was taking care of me. But in the midst of all those questions and all those, I think questions is the right word to God about what was happening and why I was feeling so down. I went to a conference and there were a lot of interesting thoughts shared on stage about different topics. And I was still like, a lot of things were happening. The Holy Spirit was touching people and I was very much longing for something to happen because I was feeling quite down. And at the end of the weekend or the 2 days, I think, I didn't feel any inspiration. I just heard a lot, but not feeling anything was happening with me. So I went to the back of the church hall and sat down, put some music in, and just wrote down some thoughts because I just needed to get it out of my head. And then this woman was coming to me and said, "Hey, brother, what's going on?" So she sat down with me and that was exactly at that moment what I needed, just somebody who was like seeing that I was not understanding what was going on. I needed somebody to talk to. That was a little bit strange because she was a stranger to me. The only time I've met her before was when I actually was walking into the building the first day and just said hello and where you're from and like the usual small talk. And she left her phone number with me and said, "Well, this might feel a little bit strange, but this is my phone number if you ever want to talk to me or reach out to me. You can call me or text me or whatever." That was a great gesture. A few months went by and I was still feeling quite down and my work was okay, but it was quite stressful because it was the first year of teaching and I've never been educated to be a teacher. So in the end, I took the step to contact her, a little bit like skeptical because nobody kind of understood what I was going through. So why would this woman know what I was going through? And she told me, you can come by. They live about 45 minutes away, so I could go there. And she was like, "Oh, my husband will be there as well." And I was like, "Well, I'm not quite sure if I'm ready to be open to to your husband as well." Long story short, I came there. They really took the time for me. They were very welcoming. They were just listening. And I think that was the first time where I really felt that people were understanding that I felt like I was working very, very hard, like just trying to get my life organized. But at that moment, that they actually acknowledged it, where a lot of people around me were saying, "Oh, you should do this and this and this." And I was like, I don't even know how to, like, well, I was just very difficult to like be happy through the week. So if people tell you to do all this random practical stuff, it doesn't really help. And they were really seeing where I was at that point. That was really, really special. And I went away from that place like, wow, I have never expected or even hoped for some people that were so understanding. And actually the husband that I was a little bit skeptical that would understand me was having a lot of experience that was matching my own experience. That was just really special. And basically, especially the first few months, I came there like every few weeks and just talked. And ever since it's one of the things that have made me feel a lot better, because I identify where, why I felt down, and I'm not going to share it right now because that's not the point, but you can ask me if you want, which gave me a lot of peace. And I'm kind of, they're kind of mentors or maybe friends, and I see them from time to time, and we keep each other updated on our lives, and it's just such a blessing. So that's a little bit of my own story about where I felt like I think I could identify it as a Valley of Baca, but the only thing I was basically doing, because I wasn't really seeking God all that well, it's just crying out to God, like, what's happening? I don't understand. I don't know what my perspective is here. And he answered. And sometimes I wonder what would have happened if at that conference I would have taken the invitation right away and go. But at least about 6 months later, I did. And it helped me a lot. So that is really helpful. Let's see if this works. Open this up. So I hope that inspires you a little bit about how a Valley of Baca could actually lead into very good things, because I feel like I know myself a lot better now, and that helps me to be more open to other people and not just thinking about what I'm feeling, but being more open to other people. And that's a way where I see that my Valley of Baca actually, in a way, brought me closer to God. All right. How are we doing on time here? All right. So this is an example of me trying to focus on God, questioning Him, trying to see what's going on. And I think what helped me, and you could see that as a spring of my Valley of Baca, is just hearing God's truth through this couple that was trying to comfort me, and also affirming me with the things like promises out of the Bible. Gave me a new perspective, and that new perspective has really changed the way I was looking at my life, because I found new hope. And I think that kind of correlates to what the psalmist is saying as well, like, because his perspective is so different, he is more able to get through the valleys without getting exhausted. So the last part, I want to go through some practical things that you could do when going through the Valley of Baca, or whatever you want to call your valley. And I think it's no surprise that it starts with trying to find your answer with God, looking at Him. Some of the things that I will explain are pretty straightforward, maybe not that surprising. Others might be a little bit more surprising. But let's start with the first one. I think digging into the Bible is a very important thing. Sometimes I know that I'm very much a person who is influenced by how I feel, rather than about, like, I'm quite a sensitive person. Not that I'm crying all day, but in terms of that, I get more influenced by what's going on around me than just maybe the truth that the Bible tells me. But I do think that the truth in the Bible does help us a lot. If you look at the psalmist from Psalm 84, he clearly knows the Bible very well. He knows, or at least the scripture that were there at that time, he knows God very well, because he is, for instance, calling Him our shield, our shepherd, and our son. And that is helping him, because he is reminding himself of all the things that God can mean for him, all the things that God is doing for His people. And sometimes if we don't feel that He's there for us, we can remind ourselves of what God is like just by knowing who God is through the Bible. So knowing what God's story is with the people of Israel, knowing what Jesus' invitation is for us, all those examples from the Bible that tell us how God is looking at us and what His heart is like, is helping us to go through difficult times as well. So I encourage you to like memorize some promises or really use the Bible as a place to go to as your rock when you don't know what life is bringing to you. And I think to make it a little bit more personal for yourself is remember the promises that God has made in the Bible and remember what God has done in your life so far. And I think maybe you've come that far in the quiet time to think about what promises or what experience you've had with God that helped you through valleys as well. And personally, I find it very helpful to know, okay, I've been in difficult times before, but he has got me through this time, and I know what he did for me. And to have that as a remembering or a reminder for myself in difficult times will help me to find new hope, even if I don't feel very hopeful at that time. And very briefly, I can talk about Joshua 3 and 4. It's interesting how Joshua, the book of Joshua, is coming up a lot this week. But God is asking the Israelites to take some stones and put them at the Jordan River, where he opened up the Jordan River to pass through. And because God knows how we forget how he has worked, and we sometimes wonder if we look at the story of Israel, like, how could you be so not obedient when you have seen so many wonders of God? But I think if we come to look at our own lives, we sometimes have that as well. So try to remember your own victories with God and your own story with God, what he has done for you to help you in difficult times to come back to those. I think what you can also do in a valley of Baca is like reflect. And there's a fine line between reflecting and like being in the past and not getting forward. Like, I think you should not stick to the past too much because it might restrain you from going into the future. But reflecting on your life, what's going on, how what your priorities are in life. Normally a valley is more of a time where you think through your life than a mountaintop. And like even if you like walk, for many people when they walk and or go hiking, it really helps us them to like get their thoughts more clear. And I think that's also true when it comes to our journey with God, that it helps to reflect on our lives. Here's another one that might not be so straightforward. Sometimes I think a valley like this can be caused because you are not confessing your sins to God. We are very, I think in the Christian world, we're very much focused on confessing our sins and then repenting to Jesus at first, but we sometimes forget that even through our lives, our sins can come between God and us, because it is something that God is not really, it can like disturb our relationship with God. So sometimes when God seems silent, ask yourself, is there something in my life that I'm not confessing to God, or where I'm being a bit stubborn, and then try to confess that. Maybe ask some Christians around you that you trust to pray for you, and I think that can really help. One of the Psalms, I'm not quite sure, I think it's 34, but or maybe 43, one of the Psalms where David is talking about how he is like fainting away and he feels terrible, and then when he confesses his sin, he finds the joy of the Lord. And I think that's true for us as well. I've experienced that as well at some point, where I confessed my sin and it felt completely different afterwards. So that's one of the things you might think about when you are in a valley like that. Another one is go to your friends or fellow Christians. I think that's quite a natural thing to do. But it's good to find good Christians that can maybe believe for you when you don't have the faith at the moment yourself. I had to think about the example of the four friends that have their friend is paralyzed, and they lower them through the roof of a house where Jesus is speaking, and Jesus is not saying, hey, it's not your time yet, stand in line and wait till it's your time. But he is impressed by the faith of the friends of this paralyzed man, and then the paralyzed man gets healed. And I think sometimes we need the faith of people around us, even if we don't believe ourselves that things are going to change, to pray for us and to comfort us. And so don't stick with your problems for yourself. That's a place where Satan really likes us to be, because we think that we will never find any perspective again, but we will. So please share your problems with people you trust. And the last point, I think, is just be patient. That's a really hard thing to do. But the people of Israel who were in exile, they had to wait a long, long time before they got back to Israel. But wait for God. What is coming is better than what the earth is offering. I had to think of the testimony of India a little bit. It's talking about how you might want to travel the world, but then God came through with a different option, and you found a lot of new hope and a lot of joy in that as well. So to close, I think finding new perspective in the Valley of Baca starts with trusting God. Surrender yourself to Him, even if you don't really feel like it, if you don't understand it, maybe you're angry. God can handle the questions. God can handle your anger. I think he wants you to come to Him with those thoughts and your feelings instead of other places where you might not find the right answers. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And I think in the valley, it comes down to our own choice. Do we want to seek God in the valley, or are we just going to find our answers and our way in different places? And even if we don't feel that He's there, He is. We can meet Him at any time, at any place. We don't have to go to the Temple of Jerusalem. We have Jesus with us, so that's great. And try to find joy in being with God. Keep seeking Him, and I think He will come through. So that's my talk for today. How did I do time-wise? Pretty good. So I'll pray for a little bit, and then I'll have some questions for the discussion groups. So Father, thanks for your message. Thanks for this psalm. Thanks for being there in our valleys, even if we don't always know that you're there or don't feel you're there. I ask you that we will find perspective when we seek you, that you will bless when we seek you, and that you will give us ways to find you when things are feeling rough. Lord, I also ask your blessing over the conversations in the discussion groups. Lord, will you give us new insights within the discussion groups? Amen. All right, so a few questions for the discussion. I think the first one is just to reflect on the questions of quiet time together. I think that will help you see where everybody, what we found in the quiet time. You can pick whatever question you want, but it might be a good starting point. Second thing, what makes it difficult to seek God in rough times? So what makes it difficult to seek God in rough times? Next question. How could you make difficult times in your life a chance to grow closer to God? So how could you make difficult times in your life a chance to grow closer to God? And then the last one. How does God's perspective over the valleys of your life change your own perspective of your valleys? So how does God's perspective over the valleys of your life change your own perspective of your valleys?